Now let us listen to chapter number 10, Kathmandu. It is an extract from Heaven Lake, written by Vikram Seth. Pages number 127 to 135. Introduction. Kathmandu is excerpted from Heaven Lake, a travelogue in which Vikram Seth gives an account of what he saw, thought, and felt when he travelled from China to Tibet, from Heaven Lake to the Himalayas. Map reading activity and activity on locating the possible routes by road, rail, or air from Kathmandu to different places in India are designed to link the lesson to the outside world. Students may wish to consult brochures or travel guides, visit a travel agency, or call them on the telephone, speak to people who have been to Nepal, and so on. This is a communicative and authentic task. To prepare for the second speaking task, students can listen to cricket or football commentaries or eyewitness accounts of the Independence Day or Republic Day parade in class or at home on radio or TV. Encourage them to observe the use of the language and follow the narration. Have a discussion in the class on the features of the commentary, its language, its liveliness, etc. A diary can be an opportunity to write freely about our life and the things that happen to us. Funny, sad, happy, embarrassing, or fearful. We also make notes on places we visit or our encounters with people. The writing task suggests that diary entries can form the basis of a travelogue and asks students to imagine a journey to Kathmandu. It may be supplemented by an actual travelogue writing task given after a long holiday or after a class trip out of the town. Before you read, do you like traveling? The writer Vikram Seth enjoys it very much. In his book, Heaven Lake, he describes a long journey from China to India via Tibet and Nepal. Have you heard of places like Ajmer Sharif, Madurai, Sanchi, Varanasi, Sarnath, or Helibid? Can you name some other places like these? What do the surroundings of a holy place in your city look like? Think about it as you read Vikram Seth's description of Kathmandu. Paragraph 1. Now let us listen to chapter number 10, Kathmandu. Paragraph 1. I get a cheap room in the center of town and sleep for hours. The next morning, with Mr. Shah's son and nephew, I visit the two temples in Kathmandu that are most sacred to Hindus and Buddhists. Paragraph 2. At Pashupatinath, outside which a sign proclaims entrance for the Hindus only, there is an atmosphere of febrile confusion. Priests, hawkers, devotees, tourists, cows, monkeys, pigeons, and dogs roam through the grounds. We offer a few flowers. There are so many worshippers that some people trying to get the priest's attention are elbowed aside by others pushing their way to the front. A princess of the Nepalese royal house appears. Everyone bows and makes way. By the main gate, a party of saffron-clad Westerners struggle for permission to enter. The policeman is not convinced that they are the Hindus. Only Hindus are allowed to enter the temple. A fight breaks out between two monkeys. One chases the other, who jumps onto a Shivlinga, then runs screaming around the temples and down to the river, the holy Bagmati that flows below. A corpse is being cremated on its banks. Washerwomen are at their work and children bathe. From a balcony, a basket of flowers and leaves, old offerings now wilted, is dropped into the river. A small shrine half protrudes from the stone platform on the river bank. When it emerges fully, the goddess inside will escape and the evil period of the Kali Yuga will end on earth. Paragraph 3. At the Bodhnath Stupa, the Buddhist shrine of Kathmandu, there is, in contrast, a sense of stillness. Its immense white dome is ringed by a road. Small shops stand on its outer edge. Many of these are owned by Tibetan immigrants. Felt bags, Tibetan prints, and silver jewelry can be bought here. There are no crowds. This is a heaven of quietness in the busy streets around. Paragraph 4. Kathmandu is vivid. Masonry, religious, with small shrines to flower-adorned deities along the narrowest and busiest streets, with fruit sellers, flute sellers, hawkers of postcards, shops selling Western cosmetics, film rolls and chocolate, or copper utensils and Nepalese antiques. Film songs blare out from the radios, car horns sound, bicycle bells ring, stray cows low questioningly at motorcycles, vendors shout out their wares. I indulge myself mindlessly, buy a bar of marzipan, a corn on the cab roasted in a charcoal brazier on the pavement, rubbed with salt, chili powder and lemon, a couple of love story comics, and even a Reader's Digest. All this I wash down with Coca-Cola and a nauseating orange drink and feel much the better for it. Paragraph 5. I consider what route I should take back home. If I were propelled by enthusiasm for travel per se, I would go by bus and train to Patna, then sail up the Ganges past Benares to Allahabad, then up the Yamuna, past Agra to Delhi. But I'm too exhausted and homesick. Today is the last day of August. Go home, I tell myself. Move directly towards home. I enter a Nepal Airlines office and buy a ticket for tomorrow's flight. Paragraph 6. I look at the flute seller standing in a corner of the square near the hotel. In his hand is a pole with an attachment at the top from which 50 or 60 bansuris protrude in all directions like the quills of a porcupine. They are of bamboo. There are cross flutes and recorders. From time to time, he stands the pole on the ground, selects a flute, and plays for a few minutes. The sound rises clearly above the noise of the traffic and the hawkers' cries. He plays slowly, meditatively, without excessive display. He does not shout out his wares. Occasionally, he makes a sale, but in a curiously off-handed way, as if this were incidental to his enterprise. Sometimes he breaks off playing to talk to the fruit seller. I imagine that this has been the pattern of his life for years. Paragraph 7. I find it difficult to tear myself away from the square. Flute music always does this to me. It is at once the most universal and most particular of sounds. There is no culture that does not have its flute. The reed, ne, the recorder, the Japanese shakuhachi, the deep bansuri of Hindustani classical music, the clear or breathy flutes of South America, the high-pitched Chinese flutes. Each has its specific fingering and compass. It weaves its own associations. Yet to hear any flute is, it seems to me, to be drawn into the commonality of all mankind, to be moved by music, closest in its phrases and sentences to the human voice. Its motive force, too, is living breath. It too needs to pause and breathe before it can go on. Paragraph 8. That I can be so affected by a few familiar phrases on the bansuri surprises me at first. For on the previous occasions that I have returned home after a long absence abroad, I have hardly noticed such details and certainly have not invested them with the significance I now do. Thinking about the text. Activity 1. On the map of India, mark out the route which the author thought of but did not take to Delhi. Activity 2. Find out the possible routes by rail, road or air from Kathmandu to New Delhi, Mumbai, Kolkata and Chennai. Word meanings. Proclaim means make known publicly or officially. Febrile confusion means hurried activity, complete chaos. Shrine means a place of worship. Heaven means a safe place. Marzipan means a sweet made with grated almond. Brazier means open stove. Nauseating means sickening. Per se means by itself. Meditatively means thoughtfully. Off-handed means casual, not showing much interest in something. Fingering means way of placing the fingers to play different notes. Compass. Here, it means range. Thinking about the text. Activity 1. On the map of India, mark out the route which the author thought of but did not take to Delhi. Activity 2. Find out the possible routes by rail, road or air from Kathmandu to New Delhi, Mumbai, Kolkata and Chennai. First part. Answer these questions in one or two words or in short phrases. 1. Name the two temples the author visited in Kathmandu. 2. The writer says, all this I washed down with Coca-Cola. What does all this refer to? 3. What does Vikram Seth compare to the quills of a porcupine. 4. Name 5 kinds of flutes. Second part. Answer each question in a short paragraph. 1. What difference does the author note between the flute seller and the other hawkers? 2. What is the belief at Pashupatinath about the end of Kali Yuga? 3. The author has drawn powerful images and pictures. Pick out 3 examples each of A. The atmosphere of febrile confusion outside the temple of Pashupatinath, for example, some people trying to get the priest's attention are elbowed aside. B. The things he sees. C. The things he hears. Third part. Answer the following questions in not more than 100 to 150 words each. 1. Compare and contrast the atmosphere in and around the Bodhnath shrine with the Pashupatinath temple. 2. How does the author describe Kathmandu's busiest streets? 3. To hear any flute is to be drawn into the commonality of all mankind. Why does the author say this? Thinking about language. First part. Read the following sentences carefully to understand the meaning of the italicized phrases. Then match the phrasal verbs in column A with their meanings in column B. 1. A communal war broke out when the princess was abducted by the neighboring prince. 2. The cockpit broke off from the plane during the plane crash. 3. The car broke down on the way and we were left stranded in the jungle. 4. The dacoit broke away from the police as they took him to court. 5. The brothers broke up after the deaths of the father. 6. The thief broke into our house when we were away. Column A contents. First, break out. Second, break off. Third, break down. Fourth, break away from someone. Fifth, break up. Sixth, break into. Column B contents. A. To come apart due to force. B. End a relationship. C. Break and enter illegally. Unlawful trespassing. D. Off start suddenly. Usually a fight, a war, or a disease. E. To escape from someone's grip. F. Stop working. Second part. 1. Use the suffixes ion or tion to form nouns from the following verbs. Make the necessary changes in the spellings of the words. For example, proclaim becomes proclamation. The words are cremate, act, exhaust, invent, tempt, immigrate, direct, meditate, imagine, dislocate, associate, dedicate. 2. Now fill in the blanks with suitable words from the ones that you have formed. A. Mass literacy was possible only after the blank of the printing machine. B. Ramesh is unable to tackle the situation as he lacks blank. C. I could not resist the black to open the letter. D. Hard work and blank are the main keys to success. E. The children were almost fainting with blank after being made to stand in the sun. Third part, punctuation. Use capital letters, full stops, question marks, commas, and inverted commas wherever necessary in the following paragraph. An arrogant lion was wandering through the jungle. One day, he asked the tiger, "Who is stronger than you?" "You, O lion," replied the tiger. "Who is more fierce than a leopard?" asked the lion. "You, sir," replied the leopard. He marched up to an elephant and asked the same question. The elephant picked him up in his trunk, swung him in the air, and threw him down. "Look," said the lion, "there is no need to get mad just because you don't know the answer." Fourth part, simple present tense. Study these sentences from the lesson. A fight breaks out between two monkeys. Film songs blare out from the radios. I wash it down with Coca-Cola. The italicized verbs are in the simple present tense. The writer is here describing what he saw and heard, but he uses the present tense instead of the past tense. A narration or a story can be made more dramatic or immediate by using the present tense in this way. Now look at the following sentences. A small shrine half protrudes from the stone platform on the riverbank. Small shops stand on the outer edge of the stupa. We use the simple present tense to speak about what is usually or generally true. The sentences above describe facts. We also use the simple present tense in sentences depicting universal truths. For example, the sun rises in the east. The earth revolves round the sun. We can also refer to habitual actions using the simple present tense. For example, he usually takes a train instead of a bus to work. We often get fine drizzles in winter. In these sentences, words like every day, often, seldom, never, every month, generally, usually, etc. may be used. Question number 1. Fill in the blanks with the correct form of the verb in brackets. 1. The heart is a pump that blank, bracket start, send, bracket close, the blood circulating through our body. The pumping action, blank, bracket start, take place, bracket close, when the left ventricle of the heart, blank, bracket start, contract, bracket close. This, blank, bracket start, force, bracket close, the blood out into the arteries, which blank, bracket start, expand, bracket close to receive the oncoming blood. 2. The African lungfish can live without water for up to 4 years. During a drought, it blank, bracket start, dig, bracket close, a pit, and blank, bracket start, enclose, bracket close, itself in a capsule of slime and earth, leaving a tiny opening for air. The capsule, blank, bracket start, dry, bracket close, and blank, bracket start, harden, bracket close. But when rain, blank, bracket start, come, bracket close, the mud, blank, bracket start, dissolve, bracket close, and the lungfish, blank, bracket start, swim, bracket close, away. 3. Mahesh says, we have to organize a class party for our teacher. Blank, bracket start, do, bracket close, anyone play an instrument? Vipul says, Rohit, blank, bracket start, play, bracket close, the flute. Mahesh says, blank, bracket start, do, bracket close, he also act? Vipul says, no, he, blank, bracket start, compose, bracket close, music. Mahesh says, that's wonderful. Speaking. 1. Discuss in class the shrines you have visited or know about. Speak about one of them. 2. Imagine you are giving an eyewitness account or a running commentary of one of the following. 1. A game of football, cricket, or hockey, or some sports event. 2. A parade, for example, Republic Day, or some other national event. Speak a few sentences narrating what you see and hear. Use the simple present and the present continuous tenses. For example, he passes the ball, but Ben gets in the way. These brave soldiers guard our frontiers. They display their skills here. Writing, diary entry for a travelogue. First, the text you read is a travelogue where the author, Vikram Seth, talks about his visit to two sacred places in Kathmandu. Imagine that you were with Vikram Seth on his visit to Pashupatinath Temple and you were noting down all that you saw and did there, so that you could write a travelogue later. Record in point form what you see when you reach the Pashupatinath Temple, what you see happening inside the temple, what you do when inside the temple, what you see outside the temple, what your impressions are about the place. Second, here is your diary entry when you visited Agra. Read the points and try to write a travelogue describing your visit to Agra and the Taj Mahal. You may add more details. January 2003. Rise before dawn. Take the Shatabdi Express at 6:15 a.m. from Delhi. Meet a newly married couple on train. Talk about Himachal Pradesh. Get off the train. Enter the once grand city, Agra. Twisted alleys, traffic dense. rickshaws, cars, people, vendors selling religious artifacts, plastic toys, spices, and sweets. Go to the Taj Mahal, constructed entirely of white marble, magical quality, color changes with varying of light and shadow, marble with gemstones inside, reflection of the Taj Mahal in the pond, school children, tourists, tourist guides following people.